Welcome to the Dr. Wendy Rhodes Show. This podcast is designed for those who want to heal from the emotional and mental traumas sustained from childhood to adulthood. I am an overcomer of domestic violence, sexual assault, and rape as a teenager. It took a while for me to realize that I am not my trauma. I take my 20 plus years of experience in healthcare, along with my spiritual healing, to assist women healing, overcoming, and living in exile. They learn self-love redefined that is beautifully integrated with love, so that they too will know that they are not their trauma. Healing is definitely your portion. I am your host, Dr. Wendy Rhodes. Hello, and peace and blessings to everyone here today on YouTube and Facebook and anywhere that you guys have connected to on this page on Self Love Redefined and Dr. Wendy Rhodes on her page, which is me, Dr. Wendy Rhodes. I am a wound care coach and specialist, and I provide a safe space for people, for women, mostly for women, to heal from any past or present traumas. So today's guest is Prophetess Alicia Brown. She is a very, very, very passionate woman, and she loves the Lord. And I have been blessed enough to be coached by her, and God has blessed us to have a very close relationship. So it takes a lot, you know, to be able to really have someone who is genuine, and she's a very genuine person. So without further ado, we're going to bring her forth so she can tell you all about herself. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Blessings to you, ma'am. Thank you for taking it, you know, accepting the invitation to come on to You Are Not Your Trauma with Dr. Wendy Rhodes.
Amen. Listen, it is an honor. Thank you so much for having me. I am excited. Listen, it is definitely a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Listen, I am glad that you're here because plus, you got on my favorite color. You know, that's my favorite color. And my mom is looking, hey, Ma, I know you see she got on our favorite color. Look, I'm like, I know you know that she got on our favorite color. But anyway, I'm going to step away and allow you to introduce yourself to everyone out here. We have a few viewers out here. Thank you guys for joining. But I am about to step away and let you have the floor.
Oh, goodness, mercy. Listen, oh gosh. Well, hello, good evening to each and every one of you. I am Prophet Alicia Brown. I am what they call your kingdom purpose pusher. I know most will say, well, what is that? What does that mean? I push purpose because I believe that there is purpose in everything that goes on in your life and everything that you do. What I do is I empower, equip, and elevate women to be bold, beautiful, and branded in their kingdom assignments and their God-given purpose, because God has called us women to do these things and to nurture, to reproduce what has already been produced. So that's just a little bit about myself. I'm also an author and entrepreneur as well, coach, mentor, also, and a counselor. So that is just a little bit about myself. And I thank God, my goodness, this subject, I'm ready to dive in and talk about obedience is better than sacrifice. There's purpose in the obedience. There's a reason God wants us to be obedient. There's a reason why he has so many scriptures and principles talking about being obedient, even down to from the point of when we were children. He said, children, obey your parents. Obey, 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 obey. So I am super, super, super duper excited. And I thank God. I thank God. I truly, truly thank God, because there's some things I can talk about with this obedience, even in this test that I just went through in my obedience. Yes, my obedience was tested. Indeed, it was. And I'm excited because I passed the test. Amen. So I don't know where Dr. Wendy, she just hiding and whatnot, putting people on spotlights and everything like that.
I'm like, what else you want me to say? Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. I was crunk about this one, because obedience being better than sacrifice. You know, because at first I was thinking, you know, about your LLC, which is Empower Me. You know, you're a purpose pusher, which, trust me, I know that firsthand. You know, where your mama at? I need to tell on you again. But anyway, but you really are a purpose pusher. If anybody can get anything out of somebody, it's definitely you. You know, and I mean, I'm just saying, because I know I'm not exactly the easiest person, but it's a lot of people that might be worse than me. But I'm just saying, you were able to squeeze it out, to squeeze it. You know, and now, you know, it's like you've pushed me, and now I see, you know. But anyway, we gonna move right on past that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What kind of sacrifices have you made that caused you to even know that, you know what, my disobedience caused this? So, you know, where are we going with this?
Jesus, where shall I begin?
Woo. Tell us where it began, my dear Prophet Alicia Brown.
I'll be honest with you. If I go back to my childhood, I was, Jesus, my God. I was not an easy child. I was the child that kept mama on the knees praying. I pray that she make it to see her adult age. I pray that she don't be locked up somewhere. I pray that she see the light and get some act right. Why I was that type of child? Before I couldn't tell you, but now I say it's because the enemy knew who I was. And he wanted to take that away and destroy me before I even knew who I was. So from the time I was in my mother's womb, the enemy tried to have me killed. I was supposed to be aborted. And, you know, growing up, having these gifts, being able to see stuff, hear stuff, and all these things, and you don't know how to explain it because you're a child. You don't know what's going on. You don't know why you're having all these crazy dreams. You don't know why what you dream and what you see and what you hear, and all of a sudden it comes to pass. You don't know why and not having anyone to actually explain it to me. Because I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I never heard of a prophet. I knew nothing about prophets. I knew archbishop. I knew pastors. I knew of those, but I never heard of prophet. And so because I'm a prophet, that's who he called me to be. Those were some of the gifts and some of the things that I dealt with as a child, but I had nobody to tell me. So it was like, you know, big imagination. So going through a fight, not only with identity and trying to fit in, it was like, mama said go left, Leisha gonna go right. Just because you told me to go left and I don't want to go left because I feel like that's not the way I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to go right. So I'm going right. So a lot of things I had to learn the hard way. When God began to reveal to me who I was, it was the same exact way. I still had that child personality. God would say, go right. Leisha's going left. God would say, open your mouth. Leisha putting, locking her mouth and throwing the key away. God say, I need you to release this word. Leisha was not releasing the word. God say, release the word again. Okay. Leisha get her book and release the word in the book.
I'm going to tell you, I know all about it. I know all about it. I said, did she just mirror me right quick? When I was younger, my oldest sister always sang, well, I was pretty much gone by the time you started growing up. I just used to hear about you, the stuff that you do. And I'm like, I wasn't that bad. Why are they having these conversations about me?
I know, right?
Look, I'm like, it wasn't me. You know, it's their imagination. But no, I gave my mother a pretty hard time. Not purposely, but just like you. Satan tries to shut you down. He tries to shut you down. Mm-hmm. You know, he really do. He really try to shut you down.
Yeah.
But it's those trials and those mm-hmm. tests and everything that you're given. You know, that God give you like these little small things to mm-hmm. do just to see if you're going to do them.
That part right there, because I'll never forget when I actually started operating in obedience and didn't even realize that, you know, I was obeying, but didn't realize to what extent, to what level. And obedience will make you look crazy. Will make you look like you done lost your ever loving mind.
Okay.
I remember when the Lord told me, he said, get rid of everything in your apartment and pack up one duffel bag per person. I have 3 children, so that's 4 duffel bags. I was a single mother at the time.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
living in the projects. And God said, pack up, get rid of everything. Now for me, because I'm not going to lie, God has blessed me where things were always given to me. I had not want for nothing. And when you have a mom and I'm the only girl, I'm the only daughter, so I'm spoiled. I can admit that. I am spoiled. And when you have a mom that sees their child going through and don't want and see that I'm trying to get my life together and I'm trying to get on the right path, she did nothing but help. So my house was decked out. You hear me? You would have swear I was living in New York because I'm born and raised in New York City. I'm a city girl. You would have swear I was living in the mansion in the projects because my house was decked. My apartment was decked out. You on the outside looked like the projects, but when you came on the inside, it was like, wait a minute, did I cross over to another?
Hold on. I can just imagine. You like, wait a minute. You say what? To do what? To what?
Right.
What?
I didn't pay for this stuff. My mama will go crazy. And what makes it so bad is the Lord showed me in dreams that my mom was tripping and said, I lost my ever loving mind. So this is what the Lord did. Stuff started breaking up in my house. The dresses started falling apart. I love lions. That's one of my animals that I love outside of butterflies. So my mom had gotten me this lion statue, but it was a round glass table on top. Gorgeous. You hear me? And it was not
It was nothing cheap. It was heavy. My children and I, we was walking past it to leave the house, and the glass shattered. Nobody touched it. Nobody hit it. Nobody slept. The glass literally just said, and I said, what in the world? I said, okay, Lord,
okay,
don't break nothing else. I will get rid of whatever is still in good condition. It just so happened. Now, mind you, during this time, the Lord had given me Empower Me. He had impregnated me with Empower Me, and he said that you are going to empower women. Mm-hmm. Now, at this time, I'm like, I'm going to do what? I can't even empower myself. I don't even know how my life, where this is going. And you want me to be a light for women when I can't even, I can't, I'm still looking for the light.
Okay.
So it just so happened a single mother came along that needed. They had just got approved. And the Lord said, there's Empower Me. And at the time, it started out with for just single mothers. And so I called her and I told her, I said, hey, come pick up everything, all the TVs, the dining room table. And the dining room table was a marble dining room table. Beautiful. Real marble. Ain't no fake marble. Ain't no plastic. No, real marble. Marble table, fireplace, about three TVs, flat screen TVs, not no small ones. It was like 47, 50 inch, whatever. Come get them.
Wow.
And she was like, you sure? Come get the couch. Come get the bed. And my bed, it had, I love bling. So it had the, it was like a velour and then velour material. And then it had the diamonds in it.
Oh my goodness.
I said, come get it all. It was a queen size bed. Come get it all. She was like, you sure? Yep, come get it. She was like, but what are you and your children going to sleep on and what y'all going to do? Now, mind you, in the projects, it was concrete. Concrete floor. No.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah. No. Cold.
Yeah, cold. Oh, my yes. Now, my babies at the time was, my daughter wasn't even one. She was still a baby. And my sons had to been like 5 and 6 years old. Come get it. So now I got the blow up mattress that went flat. So now we're sleeping on a flat blow up mattress on a cold floor. No TV. We're using my laptop as a TV. No couch to sit on. No table to eat on. We eat on the floor. Tell me, you know, everybody thought I was crazy. Have you lost your mind? You got three babies. Have you lost your mind? What possessed you to do that? Getting rid of clothes and all. Now, mind you, I had a full wardrobe, had everything, head to toe, matching. Got rid of all. Whatever fit in the duffel bag, that's what I kept. And I just rotated it. So then, the Lord says, you're moving where I'm taking you. That's your promised land. Everything I promised you, you will see manifest. Where you going in your next place? I'm on a one-way bus ticket to a place, leaving my family. Now, this family, aunts, uncles from my mama's side, I'm in the town with my aunts, uncles, and everything. So now I done built friends, all of that. I'm leaving all of that behind to go a place where I don't have a job, don't know where I'm staying, don't know how I'm getting around because I don't have a car. But I'm going because the Lord told me to go. And don't look back. So I get there.
Look, I'm like, and who did that represent in the Bible?
Come on now. When I tell you I done played out some characters, I done played out some characters now. Come on.
I'm just saying. I'm like, wow.
Under the sun.
And you wasn't about to be Lot's wife looking back, turning into a pillar of salt.
That whole part right there. However, I got there. 2 weeks of me getting there, I landed on a career job. After landing on the career job, before I even started the job, don't have no money in the bank, nothing. The Lord said, go to the dealership, get your car. Real dealership, not mom, pop, not no buy here, pay here. I need you to go to the actual brand. You're going to go to Crown Nissan. That's where you're going. Okay. Lord, Have you taken a look at my checking and my savings? And have you taken a look at my credit score? And you want me to do what? I just started. I haven't even got my first paycheck. I'm still in training. Go. Say no more. I'm going. And when you get there, you better be confident. Oh. That's how he got to talk to me, y'all. Y'all wondering, like, he really said that? Yes.
He meets you right where you at. He knows you.
He knows sometimes he got to get aggressive with me for me to actually not fight with him and say, okay, I got the church finger. Okay, I'll be obedient. So I went, and they swore up and down, I'm going to need a cosigner, cosigner, cosigner. And I confidently and boldly said, I don't need no cosigner. Just put the papers through so I can get out of here because I got to go get my children. And I said, and it's going to be the amount that I told you my payments were supposed to be. Well, they came back. Congratulations. And they said, and we just took this one off the truck. No miles. Nobody drove it. I'm the only driver. Congratulations. So it smelled fresh and brand new.
Come on, Jesus. Come on.
Then
obedience.
The car insurance was like, mind you, I told you I don't have no money in the bank. Oh, by the way, it was no money down. Also, no money down. No money down. And my payments, and I know most will be like, oh, well, them payments must have been high. She ain't put no money down. No. My payments was only $333 a month. $333.
Mm-hmm. You already know who that was. That was God all day long. That obedience.
Car insurance
paid off.
That part. Car insurance said, you know what? Just write me a post-dated check so we can at least give you the insurance so you can drive the car. So I ain't paid nothing to get the insurance. But I got the policy, though. Drove off that night, surprised my children. Had my vehicle. Now, let's go on the flip side of disobedience. That's the obedience side. Let's go. I'm going to rewind before
that. I think I might need to step away for this one and let you just have the floor on this one. Because, yeah, I'm going to slide out and just let you tell this one.
I'm going to rewind. Ooh. So, it was a job. I had just had my daughter. And now I'm a single mother of three children, not getting any assistance by any father, none of that. I need more money. The job that I had was great. I loved it, but it wasn't enough money. I was borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, and I was struggling. The struggle was real. So now, as y'all can hear, I was looking for more money. I was going after the dollars. And so and the Lord had told me not to go for this job because it was a distance. It was like an hour and 33 minute drive from where I stayed. However, it paid good money because it was in the next time over. I didn't listen. I went and got it anyway. So I had just got another vehicle. It was a 2011 Nissan Versa. And those payments was kicking my behind. Imagine single mother paying car insurance, car note, and still having to take care of three children and household. Now, mind you got a baby and y'all know formula, Pampers, pull-ups, because the boys was pull-ups, all of that. So as time went on, I got on a job, started, loved it. This one day, I was on my way to work. Now, mind you, I had only been on the job for 3 months. I had just crossed over and just got fully accepted as a full-time employee there. I was a temp when I started, and I worked my way to being permanent. Just got the permanent position. I was like, yes. Thank God for the promotion, right? Y'all know how we do. Yes, won't he do it? So then I'm driving, drop the children off to daycare, and I'm on my way to work. My car loses control. I hit three trees and knocked two down. Now let's rewind. I prayed. I said, Lord, I'd be so happy and so glad when this car is paid off and paid in full. Mm-hmm. Hit three trees, knocked two down. I died. My spirit was in the passenger side looking at my lifeless body in the driver's side. That was my wake up. I said, God, what do you want from me? I cannot die. I finally got what I've been praying for, which was a little girl, and I just had her. This was in the same year I had her, in 2015. She was a newborn. I said, Lord, I don't have nothing in place. I don't want the system to get my children. What do you want from me? He said, I want you to surrender your will for mine. That's all you want? Okay, Lord, I got a few cuts that's bleeding out. Let me sign with this blood over my will and accept your will. If that is all you want from me, can I go back in my body so I can go home now? By the time I got back in my body, I heard the ambulance and the fire trucks coming. By this time, he done dispatched angels to pull me out of the car. I done been pulled out of the car already. I'm on the side of the road and all. Don't know how they got me out. Don't remember half of what happened. I just remember going back and forth between the trees. Didn't even know that I knocked two of them down.
My God.
I didn't come out with a broken bone. I just came out where I had to walk around with crutches for some time. From that day forward, I made a promise to God that it was his will and not my will. That's when my obedience began. Right. Then came the trip, my test to my obedience. Are you going to move? Are you going to give away your stuff? Although it's going to make you look crazy, remember what you told me. Remember what you said.
My God.
I need you to be obedient. So now in my life, obedience is better than sacrifice. Y'all hear the sacrifices.
Oh my God.
And I have, as y'all can see, the two dots across. Yeah. I done been crucified. I had to wear my thorned crown, because I had to wear a halo for 4.5 months. That was another
right. Because I was gonna say that apparently you was wearing a halo.
I had to wear a halo for 4.5 months.
For you viewers that don't know what a halo is,
I had to have surgery to have them screw the skulls, to screw the screws into my skull. Two right. In the front and two in the back. So when I say I had my crown of thorns, I had my crown of thorns.
Woo. My God, today. See, that's the reason why right there. That's why right there. See, it has taken me a minute to get it. But I don't want to get to that point. I don't want to ever let it get to that point. I want them to keep telling me the same thing over and over. I told you now. Just, you got to move. We got to move. We can't just be stagnant and sitting when there's souls out here that need us. You know, we need to be in position. You know?
And you know, delayed obedience is still disobedience.
It's still disobedience all day long.
It's still disobedience. I had to learn that, because for me, it was like, but I did it though. But did you do it when I told you to do it?
Right.
And it's like,
but then I was going to say, but then think about the things that already has bypassed you that you could have had. Mm-hmm. I remember Steve Harvey had this little cartoon thing. I don't know if you remember that, of it was all of these streets like Faith Street and you know, all of that. And as you was talking, that's what I was thinking about, because it was all of these doors and boxes and this and that that you supposed to have, but because you didn't do things this way, you're like, wait a minute, can I open this door? No, you can't open that door. It's too late to open that door. So now you've ruined that because of your disobedience. But there's still doors up here. Now, if you follow and you do what you're supposed to do, then yes, you can open some of those doors. And yes, you can open some of those packages. And what is your famous thing? What is your famous thing? Withdraw.
Withdraw.
I want you to talk about that. I'm going to tell you. Unless you don't want to.
There's instructions before you even withdraw from the kingdom. There's instructions in order for you to withdraw. So I'm going to give y'all a little snippet of the book that's getting ready to come out, Withdraw from the Kingdom. I'm going to give y'all a little snippet of it. So Deuteronomy, before I even go there, Deuteronomy 28 tells you what the benefits are for your obedience. There's some really good benefits too. And here's the thing about obedience. When you obey, then God can continue to move and give you further instruction. You have to follow the first instructions he gave you and be obedient to the first before he was able. See, when I was obedient and got on that bus, Greyhound bus, one-way bus ticket with three children and four duffel bags, God began to do the next things and put everything in motion. Like he said, when I got there, everything had already been in place for me. Provision had already been made for me before I even got there. So because I was obedient and I was on the bus, he continued moving and setting stuff up for me. So everything had already been lined up. I just had to remain in the posture of obedience. So God said to me, these were the instructions that God had given me in this most recent part of my life. He said, daughter, this is what I need you to do. He said, the first thing I need you to do is I need you to, Lord, give it back to me in the order that you gave it to me. Stay focused. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I love it when he gives stuff back to me and brings it refreshed back into my memory. First instruction was stay focused. Then each instruction he gave me, he backed it up with scripture. He said, stay focused. Then he said, if you keep your mind stayed on me, you will have perfect peace. And he said, not just any old perfect peace, but that perfect peace that surpasseth all understanding. Stay focused. Then he said, instruction number two. I said, okay, stay focused. Remain obedient. Then he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I said, okay. Then he said, last but not least, once you've done the first two, then you can withdraw from the kingdom bank. I said, withdraw from the kingdom. He said, yes. He said, because when you stay focused, that's a deposit. When you remain obedient, that's multiple deposits. Each time that you obey, that's another deposit into the kingdom. Because he said that we have access to the kingdom. He has given us keys to the kingdom. And y'all know the rest of that scripture. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Obedience. So as you're making these deposits, as soon as they hit the bank, they start gaining interest. Y'all know about that interest when you go to take out a loan and paying maybe $1,000 or more over than what you originally took out because that interest, because you got to pay on the interest plus what you took out, paying on what you took out. Yes. So can you imagine the buildup? He says, so your deposit is gaining interest. And the longer it sits in the kingdom bank, my God, the longer it sits in the kingdom bank, the more interest it builds and gains. That's why he said, I shall do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or think. So it's just adding. He said, because you've been waiting, when you withdraw, you're withdrawing with interest. So you're not just getting what you deposited. You're getting that and more. So those was the three instructions. And the thing about obedience, so I was in a situation most recently that hurt. And obedience, not only does it make you look crazy, sometimes it hurts to be obedient. Why does it hurt? Because you can't do what you really want to do. So I was in a situation where I seen some stuff going on. I seen stuff around me, and it was all coming at me all at one time. And God said to me, he said, don't move and don't you say a word. I said, what? He said, don't move and don't you say a word. I said, wait a minute. Are you serious? I can't say nothing? But Father, I gotta fight, Lord. You don't see all of this coming at me? I gotta fight. What you mean don't say a word? How else am I gonna fight if I don't say a word? What you mean don't move? You taught my hands how to war. You put the words in my mouth that I may speak of your word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. So you don't want me to move when you taught my hands how to war, and you don't want me to say a word when your word is my weapon. Don't you see what's going on, Lord? This don't make no sense. Father, help me. And as a matter of fact, I don't even want to understand it because I'm not leaning to my own understanding. But bring me some clarity on this, because this thing is uncomfortable.
My God.
This part of obedience is uncomfortable.
Right.
But here was the beauty. Although all of this was coming at me, not a thing could touch me. Not a thing could harm me. Not a thing could do anything to me. However, I was ready to fight. Then he politely said to me, he said, this is not your battle. Hold your peace. This one is on me.
Ooh, Lord.
That's when he gave me revelation. He said, remember when I betted on Job? And I said, have you considered my servant Job?
Oh, said, my goodness.
And add your name. Have you considered my servant Alicia? I said, what? I said, so I said, wait a minute.
You done put me over on a platter and presented me and said, listen here.
You can do whatever you want, but don't kill her.
Right. What? Whatever you want to, but don't kill her.
But you can't kill her. So,
see.
But here's the beauty. When you don't move, and when you don't say a word, can't nobody respond to silence. I'm going to say like my spiritual father, Apostle Timothy Smith said. He said, when you're silent, can't nobody repeat silence. The only repeating they can do is just be silent.
That's it.
They can't say what you said because you were silent.
Mm-hmm.
They can't say you did this because you didn't move.
There you go.
And see, when the enemy is lurking and he's working, the only way he can find you is by the sound that you release. The same way God in the heavens hear our sound, the enemy hears it too. The only way the enemy knows what you up to, what you doing, what you got planned is because you done opened your mouth and started speaking everything that's going on. And he said, oh, she about to get a big check. Oh, She about to build that mansion. Oh, okay. I know where I'm about to go mess with next. I know how I can disrupt this. I know how I'm going to toy with this, because you're giving him where your next place is. The only way the enemy can find you is when you start moving, because the enemy is dumb. Okay. He has
no discernment. Oh, I love how you said that. You say he is dumb.
He has no discernment. He has no power. He has none. All of that is the only power he has is the power that you give him.
That's right.
That's the only power he has. So when God said, shh, don't say nothing, be quiet. Because yes, I'm on a platter, but guess what? You can't sift me, neither can you seek me out if I'm not moving or talking. Because you have no sound. He's saying Marco, waiting for me to say Paulo. So right. He can hear me. And I ain't saying a word. So now he's squirming. And see, when you move, the vibrations that are released from your foot movements, he can follow those too. Just as when they walked around the Jericho wall, you know, they were silent. The vibrations of their silence and their footsteps uprooted that wall and made it weak.
So when you go ahead and bring forth that word, look at there. Bring that word here.
And they was obedient. God said, when you first walk around, be quiet. Don't say a word. Because guess what? While we ain't saying nothing, God's saying everything. And I will share this because the Lord is giving me liberty to release this.
Yes, God.
The other day, I was in my prayer closet and I saw this white shadow come in. Am I tripping? Wait a minute. Now I know I got all these clothes and shoes in this closet. Wait a minute. And it just sat down right next to me. And then when I looked for my peripheral, I could see it looked like an angel. So then the Lord said, and by this time, I'm already in a weeping state.
Right.
So then the Lord said, lay in that direction and lay right there. So I'm laying there and all of a sudden I felt the peace of God take over.
My God.
And I said, and then I just, and I felt like it was a release.
I said,
while I was in the shower, it came in. And it announced itself. It identified itself. Because I kept calling it it. It.
Right. It. What is it?
I guess he was like, listen, I'm the angel of the Lord. She got one more time, Lord, to call me it.
Right.
So he came in. And he said, I am Michael.
My God.
Wait a minute. So the Lord done dispatched the warring angel. That's why he said this ain't your battle. It's on me.
My God.
I got this. You ain't got to move. You ain't got to pull out no sword. Don't even open your mouth. I got this. This on me. I was in one of the sessions and my mentee, she said, she looked and she was able to see. She was able to see him. And she was like, oh my gosh. I said, yes, do you see my angel? He's right there.
And he's right there.
As we were talking, and the Lord had me ministering to her, he got bigger. And he was taking over my whole wall. Wow. I said, dog, I know they said the angels was big, but dog, I ain't think that was that big. And it was so bright. You hear me? You would have swore I had an extra light on, or like those what do you call them, circle lights?
The ring light.
There we go. y'all forgive me in my vocabulary. Sometimes I can't.
No, that's all right. Man, I'm loving this. See, these testimonies and the reality that a lot of people don't live in, the reality of knowing that God is actually real. His angels are real. People don't understand that. They live in this place of complacency. Mm-hmm. Not only are people complacent, but they haven't gone outside of the box of old traditional, regular, I'm going to say
back, religion.
Religion. Because I was going to say, because I grew up in old time Baptist church.
Religion.
Didn't know nothing about speaking in tongues, the prophetic, the angels, the spirit of God really being real and hovering over you, you know, and different things like that, and clouds and all of these different things, and the giftings and the callings, you know, and all of this different stuff, knowing about witches and warlocks and all of these different things that are real.
Yes, they
and
are.
People do not know, but they go around walking around just don't know. They don't know. Just like Miles Monroe said, all of these gifts, talents, all of this stuff, the richest place in the world is the graveyard. Yep. Because people take it with them because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe because grandmama now went to church on just flat out tradition. Mm-hmm. Because this is what we do. But it's like, it's what we do, but why are we there? What are we really accomplishing? Exactly. This is our regular Sunday go meeting.
Yes.
We all go there. We might eat a donut in between, you know, or have dinner on the first Sunday or whatever. And on that first Sunday, then you get, you know, you do communion because that's what you're used to. Mm-hmm. But what'd he say? Do this in remembrance of me. It don't have to just be on the first Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It don't have to be just on the first Sunday. You know, I was just talking to someone earlier today, and we were talking about old time religion. Like you said, old time religion. And you get tired because when there's so much inside of you, there's so much down inside of you, knowing that God needs to get into them places and bring you forth because you were designed to do something else. Mm-hmm. Your blueprint says something else besides what you're doing. And you're still sitting in an old traditional church. You're still sitting in an old time traditional church, sitting on that anointing that's supposed to be over here. You're still over here. And that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's stagnation and it's fear.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to leave my auntie and my cousin and all of them. I don't want to leave all of them. Mm-hmm. I don't. Because this is what we used to. What they say? Give me that old time religion.
Look, when you said it, that's what came to mind. I said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Angels is real. God
yes,
is
they
real.
Yes.
Satan is real too. Why they playing? He just don't have no power.
So
he I'm has the power.
I'm gonna share this, right?
I was about to say he has the power that people give him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He can sit up there and plant them seeds in your head, those seeds of doubt and all of this different kind of stuff, and lead you to think one way and it's another way. You could have easily said that I done got over this. I got this trauma going on and that and whatever. And now I'm happy in my life. And all he got to do is come and whisper to you and say, you know, you're ugly. And now all of a sudden, when you was thinking that you was cute for this last past month and you done came from feeling so good about yourself and he whispers that, and now you done went back to feeling and looking ugly. When you done already been pulled from that. Okay, this is your time. I'm gonna stop.
No, I'm gonna share this. So my youngest son, right, EJ,
the one that was jamming the other day.
Yeah, the dancer. Yeah. He came to me with this revelation he got. He said, Mommy, he said, you know about computers, right? I said, yeah, you know, I use them, whatever it's gonna be. He said, okay. So he said, listen to this. He said, so we are the computers. And God is the user of the computers. I said, okay. He said, and you know how you type and the computer receives the information that's being typed? And then I said, yeah. He said, so when God gives us the word, he's typing for us to store the word. And then when he's done, he pushes print. So that it can print, and that's us speaking his word. Oh. And he said, so that's God. He said, and the devil, that's the hacker, that's the virus.
I was sitting up there thinking the interceptor, the virus.
That's the hacker, that's the virus. Then he said, but then Jesus, this blessed my whole life. He said, Jesus is the antiviral software. Because with the devil, all the viruses that the devil placed in us, we the computer, that's our sin. Jesus came as the antiviral system when he died on the cross for us and wiped it all clean. So now we a brand new computer.
Listen.
When he said that, I could have ran. You hear me?
I'm just saying.
I said, he took the way we use a computer, it came out with a whole revelation.
And I sat up here and thought about how the Geek Squad, you take your computer over there to the Geek Squad and they clean it, they wipe it clean. I just seen the whole Geek Squad through this whole thing. I just seen the Geek Squad.
Right. So when he said, I said, boy, you know what? You something else. Listen, but it's true.
He owned to something though.
And it came, he's 11. So it's wow. Coming from the mindset of a child. I said, boy, if you don't come on through with the revelation.
I'm telling you, it was real.
I said, that was good.
Out, and fresh, hot off the press, too. He had been thinking about that.
Fresh, hot off the press. He talked about the computer.
I would have never thought of that, though.
And the antiviral software that you download onto the computer.
I'm trying to tell you. Oh my God.
It then broke it down. This is what God does. This is what the devil does, and this is who he is. And this is what Jesus does and who he is.
Wow. Look at there. Look at there. I'ma tell you, this has been so good.
Yeah.
This has been so, so, so good. I'm going to let you just, you know me, I'm going to slide out the scene and I'm going to let you leave them some words of encouragement. Let me see. How can they get in contact with you? That's what I wanted to know.
So they can get in contact with me they can get in contact with me on Facebook at Alicia Brown. I'm on Instagram as well, Alicia.Brown, at Alicia.Brown. They can go to my website as well, and that's www.empowermellc.com. And they can check out the website. That's where all my books and more about me is on there, what I do, programs I have, talks a little bit about my ministry, my nonprofit. So you can definitely check all of that out on the website. It's empowermellc.com. And then
I keep on doing that, right?
Look, this because you stuck on the empower me. Listen,
you know what? And I am stuck on that. I promise you.
Bump the I'm LLC.
Stuck on that though.
Empower me, but but those are ways that you can definitely reach out to me if they are interested in signing up for my Whisper Word text devotional. They can text Whisper to 864-504-4323.
Say it again.
864-504-4323. They just text Whisper and they will be added to the Whisper devotional texts that are sent out. And if I was to leave some encouraging words, because
yeah, I'm gonna slide out the way and let you do that though. See, that's the part that you have on you.
Many have asked me, how did I get here? How is it that I can be so obedient? I'll say, listen, it's not easy being obedient. It really is not. However, one, spending time with God, that intimate time in prayer, that communication, it starts there because you're given instructions in your prayer time, in that personal time that you have with God. He speaks to you. And it's being able to get into the practice of not just saying, okay, I'm gonna get in my car and while I'm driving, I'm gonna speak to the Lord while I'm driving because I'm in a hurry. Take that time because you're not fully focused. Remember the first three instructions. He says, stay focused and then remain obedient after staying focused. So, you know, taking out and cutting out some time for him where it's just you and him and you talking to him and then you wait for him to respond. Not just say, Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, I need clarity on my next steps. And Lord, I thank you because you order my steps. And Lord, I love you. And on and on and on. In Jesus' name, amen. And then afterwards, it's up. Okay, I done prayed. I'm done. All right. What's for dinner? Let me go see what I'm going to cook for dinner. Or, oh, I got to go hurry up and get dressed because I got to go this place or I got to do that. That's a one-sided that's one-sided conversation. So definitely prayer where you're talking to him and he's talking to you. And sometimes let him do all the talking. Just have your notepad and just sit there in silence and just listen. The second thing, listen to God. Listen to him when he speaks. He'll start you off with the smallest instruction. So I put this challenge out there to quite a few of my mentees. And the challenge was, try asking God, what do you want me to wear today? That's a simple instruction. Lord, what do you want me to wear today? And wait for his response and wear what he told you to wear. That's a start of obedience. Even when it might look crazy to you and look multicolored, it's a start of obedience. The final thing is, and there's more after the third, but the Lord deals with me in threes and twos. So these are three instructions. The third one, cultivate obedience. And after you cultivate obedience, activate it. Because cultivating obedience is just to prepare. It is preparing something for growth. So you're preparing your obedience for growth because you want it to grow. Then activate it. When you're activating, you're putting it in motion, meaning that when you're given an instruction, you're going to actually do it. You're doing what you're being asked to do and what you're being told. You're complying with what's being said. And take it one day at a time. Don't be so hard on yourself. Listen, this is years of development. I wasn't always this way. I told y'all about my childhood. I was just as defiant and disobedient as I wanted to be. Now, I'm an adult. And I'm just now learning how to consistently obey and be obedient and stay there. I'm just now getting that. And I'm in my 30s, my mid-30s. I'm just now getting it. So take it one day at a time and one step at a time and follow those three instructions. Pray. Allow God, listen to God. Allow him to respond. And cultivate, then activate your obedience. Dr. Wendy!
Yales? I'm here. Okay. Text whisper to 864-504-4323. That's the right number. The whisper. Thank you so much for coming. Listen, you know I'm cray-cray. I mean, you know how this is, but you guys, I pray that you guys were able to truly receive today that what you're doing when you don't obey God can cause a whole bunch of conflict in your life, a whole bunch of stagnation. Because of stagnation and fear, it can cause you to have a lot of trauma and a lot of drama in your life. Be obedient. Obedience is definitely better than sacrifice. I love how you said, number one is stay focused. Stay focused, stay focused, stay focused. If you keep your mind stayed on him, keep your mind stayed on him. Keep your mind stayed on him. Number two was remain obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Make sure that you continue to do steps one and two, and then you can get to the bag of whatever that bag may be. It may not be finances. It may be peace. It may be, you know, your health staying together, mentally, physically, and emotionally keeping it together. Withdrawing from the kingdom bank does not mean finances all the time. It could be so many other things.
Talk about it, that part right there. And all of that is in the book.
It's just the fact that, yes, you can be financially secure if you listen to him. It may be something that he's been trying to get you to do that was on your blueprint. That says that she's Picasso. And she done sat down and she know how to draw this, that, and the other. And God tells you to go and draw this and draw that. And you decide that I'm gonna work on this a little bit. And then you put it to the side for a year. Then God said, don't forget about that picture that you're supposed to be drawing, because I got something that I need you to do with that. Then you go back and you look at it, and then you get distracted, and then you don't do it. And then God said, okay, I'm not going to tell you again for you to go ahead and work on that picture. Now, I've already set you up where you can withdraw from the kingdom bank if you just listen to me and go ahead and finish writing that, because nobody else has this design in their mind. I gave it to you for you to do it. Well, guess what? You keep on getting distracted. So somebody else got it. And somebody else withdrew from the kingdom bank millions of dollars off of a picture of an image that God gave you to bring forth because you didn't, number one, stay focused, and number two, remain obedient. If one and two are not done consecutively or continuously, then you can void number three, withdrawing from the kingdom bank.
Because you can't withdraw what you didn't deposit.
There you go. Boom. So I am so thankful that you came today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. And thank you for accepting the invitation. You have taught us all today about the Kingdom Bank. It was so much more. I was over here writing notes. I'm like, I hope that you guys were taking notes too, because even though I deal with you and I talk to you and we do our, you know, our sessions and everything, even though we do that, it's still so much more. You know, be withdrawn from the Kingdom Bank. I'm just saying, people don't understand on that Kingdom Bank thing. Yeah, but thank you guys so much for tuning in today. And we are going to end this broadcast. Thank you guys.
Bye. Have a blessed day.